After 10 days of Occupy Wall Street-style protests in downtown Moscow, police cleared out Christie Purdy Park, where activists set up a camp in the midst of protests against Putin's inauguration for his third term as Russian president. In early May, the camp had become a mini-democracy preserve, with lively open-air debates, music, and outdoor theater. Police cleared the park with a court order declaring the anti-Putin encampment failed to maintain public decorum. Some Russian analysts wonder if the camp of youthful protesters may have prompted President Putin to cancel his trip to the G8 meeting at Camp David. Before the camp was broken up, 20,000 people marched in Moscow to support the anti-Putin encampment. Before the crackdown, opposition leader Sergei Davidis noted, "Everyone underestimates the energy of popular protests. A lot of people thought it would calm down after Putin's inauguration. People are finding new ways to express their civil opposition." In the pro-Putin Duma or parliament, debate has begun on legislation to impose stiff sanctions on unauthorized protests, including a $50,000 fine against protest organizers. Few expect these new measures to intimidate young anti-Putin activists. Since the world sank into deep recession in 2008, economic cooperatives have emerged to provide a proven alternative to market failures in places as diverse as coffee growers in Kenya to the Rust Belt in the United States. According to the news magazine In These Times, an estimated 1 billion people are members of cooperatives, producing earnings equal to the gross domestic product of Canada. During the Great Depression, cooperatives were launched in the housing and manufacturing sector. Later, co-ops gained popularity during the 1960s, when many community health food outlets were founded. When the Occupy Wall Street movement was born last fall, activists tapped into the United Nations International Year of Cooperatives, with organizers calling for the new protest movement to create an economy worth occupying, as many promoted the cooperative business model. One of the most famous examples of successful worker cooperatives in the world is found in the Mondragon region of Spain, which has survived Spain's economic turmoil. But the cluster of worker enterprises has now created two forms of membership, diluting the ability of workers to vote their co-op shares. In Argentina, where occupied factories were transformed into cooperatives in the early part of the decade, enthusiasm has waned as co-ops seek legal status. Economist Gar Alperovitz, author of America Beyond Capitalism, has urged the Occupy movement to move beyond street protests to create new independent institutions, including worker-owned cooperatives. In Chicago, Occupy activists have joined with the United Electrical Workers Union to buy the Republic Windows and Doors factory that was famously taken over by its workers after owners shut the plant down in 2008. Kayla Booz was a happy 9-year-old in New Orleans when her father was convicted of killing another man in a barbershop fight. Once her father was sentenced to a Mississippi jail, Kayla's life fell apart as she grew angry and her grades declined to the point she was in danger of dropping out of public school. Now 17, Kayla was saved by a mentor, Brenda Williams, who helped the African-American teenager stay in school. The mentor closely monitored Brenda's schoolwork and met with her principal. Brenda was matched with Kayla in 2009 through a federally funded faith-based program called Mentoring Children of Prisoners, or MCP. Across America, there are over 2.7 million children of prisoners. According to the Pew Center, among African-American families, one out of every 9 children has a parent in prison. The federal mentoring program was started in 2003 by the Bush administration. The program, funding both religious and secular groups, initially had a $49 million annual budget until last September, when all funds were cut by Congress. During its 8 years, MCP connected over 100,000 children of prisoners with mentors. Surprisingly, many of the mentoring programs continued despite the loss of federal funds, which were used for training and screening of volunteers. Now, as mentoring programs struggle to survive, new sources of funds and volunteers are being sought in America's inner cities. But the religious organizations and civil society groups that are stepping up to sustain a program with an impressive record of success are facing challenges, given that the jailed parents and their children have little or no political power or influence. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Zofia Hunter.